Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
Hey, what is up, you guys? Coming at you from the far future from when we record. Whoa, gosh, this is going on our secret episode. You still don't even know what you're listening to, probably, huh? Well, welcome to your secret episode. Hope you like it. How's it going? I just wanted to pop in really quick to give you guys just a quick breakdown about how the next couple weeks are going to go with watching the Glee Project season 2. Reminder, you guys can watch these on that freaking website that everyone's watching them on. What's that freaking called? I'll never freaking remember. Dang it. I don't have any notes next to me and I really want to do this in one take. So, I don't know. Go on the Reddit. I promise it's there. What's it called?
Daily Motion.
Wow, that's going to hurt my head forever. But let me give you the schedule about how the next couple weeks are going to go. So this time for Glee Project 2, we're going to take it 2 episodes at a time. So on the 19th of January, we're going to watch the final 14 and Individuality. The 26th, we're going to be watching Danceability and Vulnerability. The 2nd, we're going to be watching Sexuality and Adaptability. The 9th, Fearlessness and Theatricality. 16th, Tenacity and Romanticality. Finishing it off with the 23rd of February, Actability and Gleeality. How's that sound, you guys? We're going to have a blast. Gosh, if I could remember where we can freaking stream these, that would be super cool. But honestly, I will never remember.
Daily Motion.
Y'all remember. Well, I love you. Hope you enjoy this secret episode. I know I will. See you later. Love you. Here's a mini kiss on your mini forehead. I mean, it's a regular, this is a regular episode. Bonus kiss on your bonus forehead. Oh my gosh, my head. Love you guys.
Hello, everyone.
Hey, guys.
Welcome to your surprise mystery secret rerun.
I bet you're wondering what you're listening to. We decided 30 seconds ago to keep it a secret.
Because we know the deal. Most of you will be like, oh, it's a rerun. I'm just not going to listen this week.
But if there's an element of surprise, maybe you'll just listen to the second. Or maybe you'll get excited and, you know, it's like a little present.
Yeah, that's the hope, is that you'll be like, I'll just listen for 5 minutes to hear what the mystery is.
Yeah.
And then it hooks you and then you listen to the whole thing.
Gotcha.
Well, what's up? You know, as usual, I'm Ian. I'm a Gleek.
As usual, I'm Lena and I am a Gleek.
Well, we're taking this week off. I am moving into New York today. Uh-huh. Not today when we're recording this, but today when this episode is dropping. I am physically flying across the country, moving into my apartment. And so we're just kind of busy. We got a lot going on.
LPC's got COVID right now. Hopefully I don't have COVID next week.
We'll find out.
But heaven knows.
So tune back in next week. We will be doing live episodes again. We will be starting the Glee Project season 2. Can you believe it?
Uh-huh. I can.
But for right now,
guess what you're listening to? Have you figured it out so yet? There have been no Easter eggs.
We have. If you listen back to the last minute, we have dropped 15 different clues as to what episode it is.
Should we say it at the same time?
Heck yeah.
Wait, what's the name of it?
It is...
Ha, 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 ha.
Wait, no, we gotta say it at the same time. Okay. I'm gonna Grinch that one out.
Okay.
1, 2, 3.
NBC's The Grinch Live,
the musical live with Matthew Morrison.
Ha, ha, got you. Do you guys listen? This episode is fun. Also, I think you can stream The Grinch Live, if I'm not mistaken, on Hulu.
It's still on Peacock.
Bitch, it's on Peacock. I don't really know. But I saw it the other day on my parents' little like Roku thing. So you can watch it. Honestly, you don't need to watch it to have fun with us making fun of Matthew Morrison and just ooing and aahing over Boo Boo Stewart.
I mean, you do far more ooing than I do.
That's true. I really do think he is so cute.
Yo, this last Christmas, I was just hanging with my parents trying to like watch every Christmas movie in existence. And my mom like loves the Boris Karloff Grinch, you know, like the cartoon one from the 60s. And so she kept being like, let's watch the Grinch. And every time I would be like, oh, the Matthew Morrison one? And she'd be like, no. And then she'd be like, are you pulling up the Grinch? And I was like, yeah, the Matthew Morrison one, right? Yeah,
of course.
Comedy gold.
I'm sure your mom thought that was funny.
She sure did.
I love that.
Everyone...
You should get a Letterboxd account so you can rate the movies.
I've told you this before. I'm too susceptible to other people's opinions. I will not do it.
Oh, man. I hear you.
Also, just a note, at the end of this episode, we're going to tell you to send us an email from recoveringgleek@gmail.com. Still do that. We're also going to tell you to leave us a voicemail at anchor.fm/recoveringgleek. Please do not do that.
We don't have that anymore.
So, without further ado, sit back, relax, and enjoy our episode on NBC's Grinch the Musical Live with Matthew Morrison.
Oh, you're going to love it. Bye, guys.
Welcome to Recovering Gleek, a podcast for all of your complicated feelings about the TV show
NBC's The Grinch Musical Live.
Hello, everyone. Surprise episode.
Happy holidays, kids.
Happy holidays to... That wasn't intentional. I just started singing happy birthday to you. I was trying to sing happy holiday, happy holiday. But instead, my brain was like, let's just do the birthday song. May your every wish come true. We're on different verses. Okay, so.
What's going on? Welcome to the bonus episode, you guys.
Welcome to the holiday bonus episode. My name is Ian Allred, and I'm a Grinch, which is, I'm a Greek, which is a geek, but for the Grinch.
My name is Lena Knatzer, and I wouldn't say I'm that. I do really enjoy the 2000 version of the Grinch, but, I would not go so far as to say that I am a Greek. Greek, you said?
A Greek.
Greek.
Yeah.
Ooh. Yikes. Are you ready to talk about this episode? I think this episode. I'm so sorry.
This That's just live musical Christmas special is what you meant to say?
Yeah. Yeah.
I am ready.
Are you ready to talk about it? I think we should just get into
it. Let's just hit it.
Have you seen a lot of the like live musicals before? Are you like a fan
of
those?
So here's the list. And no, I'm not. Oh, no. I want to be so badly because I love the concept of it. I love the idea of it. And I love like bringing live theater into homes. Yeah. Just most of the executions have always been like, ugh, like they always are like stunt casting or they don't have an audience, which for this one, like kudos to them for not having an audience. They shouldn't have. But for the ones when we weren't in a pandemic, it's always like, no, the actors feed off the audience. It's why watching a rehearsal is kind of awkward, which thankfully they did rectify with recent ones. But I've seen... Sound of Music, of course, Trendsetter, first one they did.
The one, yeah.
And truly, oh my gosh, maybe I'm not a fan of live musicals. I think the next one I saw was Hairspray, and I don't think I've seen any other ones. But in my defense, I was in Argentina. Hey guys, it's me from the future. I also did watch A Christmas Story live, and it wasn't that great. I was in Argentina for Peter Pan and The Wiz and Grease. So I like couldn't watch those. I have seen a lot of clips of Grease though, and that one's pretty fun.
Yeah, I have seen them all.
Okay, what's the best
one? Jesus Christ Superstar.
Oh,
that's a hot take. I don't know that people will agree with me, but I really enjoyed it. I know, I really liked it. It had Sarah Bareilles and what's his name?
John Legend.
Yes, John Legend. Thank you. I really liked it. I thought it was lovely.
I should watch that one.
I watch it. I really liked it. Because I liked that one. It had like a concept to it. Like it was like almost a rock concert. And like the audience was like a part of it. And like the ensemble work was, oh my God, it was impeccable.
Yeah, and so they really had an audience.
Exactly. I really liked it. I don't know if other people liked it. I really didn't care because I enjoyed it that much. But I've seen most all of them. And I don't think, I think just like musicals filmed are hard.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just difficult. Like, it's a really hard medium to recreate via film. So it's really difficult.
Well, there was a lot of moments in this one where people would do things and I would be like, but then I would be like, but imagine that on stage in like a 500 person theater, that choice exactly. totally works. But it is exactly. something about having a camera there that just like yeah. sucks everything out of it, that things like feel flat or they feel awkward or they feel weird. Yeah. It's just like performing for just a camera is hard.
Right. Before we get into your feelings, give me like a noise review on how you felt okay. about the Grinch live. I want to know.
Sorry to disappoint Dr. everyone. Dr. Seuss's
The Grinch live.
My noise review was honestly probably, meh.
Yeah.
How did you, what was mine your, was what's probably, yours?
I was probably, you know.
Yeah.
I anticipated it being, I'm actually kind of sad about it. I was like so excited for it to be like painful in the fun way, but it was bad in not the ways that it's fun to be bad. And there were moments that were like cute and like moments that I was like, wow, I like commend them. It's really exciting to see theater in this time when I haven't really seen theater in a long time.
Yeah.
But like, I just felt bad, but like it was so, you know, like, and I felt bad. Like, I walked away feeling just really sad about the entire situation.
Well, here's my, and I like, we need to get into it officially, but
yeah.
Here's my two cents just going off of this specific conversation is, especially a children's show
mm-hmm.
feeds so much off of children being present.
Absolutely.
Like a show that is aimed for little kids thrives on the little kids being there and being engaged and being excited about it. And when you take the Absolutely. Little kids out of the equation, it becomes awkward. And so that yeah, was my absolutely. Big issue with it overall, is I was like, it's not, I didn't think it was bad, but I also didn't think it was good. I was just like, I can see how this would work with an audience of very excited kids, but without yeah, those definitely. Kids, it's not working for me.
Yikes. Okay, well, let's talk a little bit about the background of this show.
All right.
And then we'll get into some nitty gritty of it all and like our individualized thoughts. Okay.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
What are we going to call this segment, Ian?
It's Grax.
We can't call it Glax.
No, it's Grax. Grinch facts.
Grinch facts. I love that.
Oh yeah, it's time for the
Grax. All right, everyone. So, Grinch! Exclamation point. The musical has books and lyrics by Timothy Mason, music by Mel Marvin. It premiered in November of 1994 at the Children's Theater Company in Minneapolis, Minnesota, which is actually like a very big deal theater.
Mm-hmm.
It's like pretty nationally renowned. And here's, I think, honestly, a lot of these are like kind of boring, but here is my favorite fact. So
okay.
every year since 1998, excluding this year, I'd imagine, because of the pandemic, they have put on a production of Grinch! Exclamation point, the musical at the Old Globe Theater in San Diego. And the first 2 years, a then unknown Vanessa Ann Hudgens played Cindy Lou Who.
Oh, really?
What's up, Gabriella? Cutting
oh
her teeth
God.
On some Dr. Wow. Seuss.
I love to hear that. That's a really good crack.
So the production moved to Broadway in 2006. It played for the winter 2006 to 2007, like November to January, in the Hilton Theater, which is now called the Foxwoods Theater. It's actually called the Lyric Theater now. They changed the name again like 6 years ago, which is where Harry Potter and the Cursed Child now plays.
Mm. And I had tickets for that before the Panny D happened. Did you know that?
I had a job with an actor from that before the Panny D happened. Did you know that? He was literally going to go straight from Broadway to co-starring with me in a show, and then the show got canceled, and I
oh
will never get
oh
over it.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah. I had some killer jobs lined up this summer, like, and they all got shot square in the face. Anyways.
I remember me and Kennedy, when we were going to go to New York, we kept calling it Mueller Mania because we were going to go see Harry Potter and the Cursed Child. And Matt Mueller is in that. And then we were going to go see Six and
Abby.
Abby Mueller is in that. Mm-hmm. And then we were going to go see the new Tracy Letts play and Jesse Mueller was in that. So we were going to take them all. We were going to bring them all coffee mugs from The Grind, which is our local coffee shop. And we were going to be like, hi, Mueller Mania. And we couldn't do that.
And then all three Muellers said, no, we're going to close our shows. We don't want your crappy coffee. Literally. Rude. All right, so The Grinch was, this is insane to me. It was the first Broadway production to offer 12 shows a week.
What?
That's too many shows. Oh my gosh.
Why?
Because it's
like afternoon stuff? Like all the kids?
Yeah, just like a bunch of matinees. It makes sense because it's little kids.
Well, and that makes sense. And it's like also a holiday thing.
Yeah.
Like I know the Rockettes like do a lot of shows a week, but they also have two casts just so they can get in as many shows as they can, and because mm-hmm. they only run for like a month and a half.
Yeah. And I guess like you kill yourself by working too much for 2.5 months and then you have a nice old fat paycheck.
Yeah. But literally going, for 10 months and you just chill.
Going off of that, it was a super commercial hit. It was so...
Really?
Wicked premiered in 2004, I believe. And Wicked was the number one grosser on Broadway for 100 straight weeks, like 2 weeks shy of 2 full years, 4 weeks shy. I really gotta check my facts before I talk. With Wicked consistently selling the most tickets out of any show every week, and it was unseated by The Grinch.
I feel like that makes sense to me because it's seasonal and they do 12 shows a week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like that makes sense. Like it's seasonal. People like are just like horny for holiday stuff, you know.
I sure do know.
I know you do. Ugh. You love the holidays.
Just thinking about it. So, the original Broadway cast features some ghosts from Christmas past of Lean and Mai's life. The Grinch was played by Patrick Page, and
he is a ghost from our life.
Patrick Page is Lena's dad.
Yeah.
That's not true. Patrick Page.
Could you imagine? Let's spread that rumor.
Patrick Page is currently in quotes because no one's currently performing as anything, but currently
doing anything,
in quotes,
yeah.
Hades and Hadestown on Broadway. He also was the Green Goblin in like the Spider-Man musical, but he's been in a bunch of stuff. And Patrick Page, back in the 80s and like maybe early 90s, was a big deal actor at a nice regional theater called the Utah Shakespeare Festival, which also features two actors named Ian Allred and Lena Knatzer in the summer of 2019. So,
yeah.
And also features an actor named Ian Allred in the summer of 2020. Just kidding. No, it doesn't. The whole season is canceled. Another Ghost of Christmas Past of ours.
Are you good, Ian?
No, I'm crying. I'm currently...
We've been doing this podcast for how long and you're bringing this up now?
It's because we started this podcast so that a Broadway producer would hear us and they'd give us jobs.
Yeah.
That's why I belt in every episode and they're being really quiet and they won't contact us. So if you're a Broadway producer, please give me a job. Anyway,
could you imagine if Broadway producers were like searching the podcast scene for people to be on Broadway?
I think that's what they do.
We would be at the top of the list.
We would be at the top of the charts. Ugh, all right. Old Max in the original Broadway cast is another Ghost of Christmas Past of our lives.
Really?
He was played by, oh gosh, I should have looked up how to pronounce this man's name. John Colum, if you're fancy. And John Colum was the OG Caldwell B. Cladwell in a little ditty called You're in Town the Musical, which Lena and I performed in together back in 2018. So what's up?
Yeah, so we're basically connected to him.
So basically, Lena and I are the original Broadway cast of Grinch! Exclamation point, the musical on Broadway. So
certainly.
It then returned in 2007, and it was going to do 15 shows a week.
Oof.
But it closed after one performance because 2007 was the year of the Broadway stagehand strike when they had to close down Broadway. But it reopened 3 weeks later. So it ended up, it didn't do its full season, but it still did like most of its season.
Okay.
And they did 11 performances over Thanksgiving weekend alone. That is 4 days with 11 performances. Hell. Terrible.
I would love that.
That
I
is
would love it.
Nearly 4 3 show days in a row. All right.
I would do it.
And then, like, it toured a bunch, and it still tours, like, every Christmas, the end.
Yeah.
You have a lot of notes about this production, so that'll be the end of my gracks. Okay. Now go on to yours.
Okay. So this production, Dr. Seuss's The Grinch Musical Live, which is based on Dr. Seuss's How the Grinch Stole Christmas, the musical. What? I, you know what is weird to me about the Grinch tales especially? Like, they never have the same name. Like, they're always different. There's, like, the Grinch, How the Grinch Stole Christmas. Like, what's that about?
It's like Charlie and the Chocolate Factory versus Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. Yeah. And it's like, make up your mind who's with the Chocolate Factory. Like, pick one and roll with it.
Yeah. Anyway, so this production was directed by Max Webster and Julie Knowles.
Wait, I have to tell you.
What?
I'm so sorry.
Tell me. No, it's okay.
So.
You just, like, when... you might get canceled on the internet for talking over me. Okay. Go on, you can. So, I give you permission.
When I was a little kid, I had an alter ego where I'm like little, like 4 years old. Where I would put my baseball cap on backwards and I was someone else. And that someone else's name was Max Webster.
No way, Jose.
I directed NBC's Grinch exclamation point, the musical
Webster?
Live. Yeah.
Where did you get that name?
I don't know, but here's the deal.
You're like, my name's Max Webster.
My imaginary friend at the time was named Joe Bob Lingo. So I don't know why I gave myself the most vanilla name possible.
Yeah.
And I kept all the fun stuff for my... Yeah, he should have been Max Webster. I do remember that Webster came because I needed a last name and I looked at the shelf and there was a Webster's dictionary.
Mm, that makes sense.
That's where Webster came from. I like truly as a kid really liked the name Max and I named all my stuffed animals Max. And then in third grade, there was a kid in my class named Max and he was a huge a-hole. And then I stopped
there
liking
it is.
The name.
There it is. When I was a kid, I made people call me Thorn Storm like for years. You might know this. I don't know. But Thorn Storm, based on Thorn from the Hex Girls from the Scooby-Doo movie.
Oh, my word. Because
I was obsessed with her. And then Storm because of X-Men, and I was obsessed with her growing up. So I named myself Thorn Storm and made people call me Thorn Storm for like a year.
You should do that again.
I know.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, Thorn Storm. What
it's way better than Max Webster, I'll tell you that.
It's not, but is it better than Joe Bob Lingo?
Yes, Thorn Storm.
Okay, we truly were trying to aim for a half hour for the special, but I do have another anecdote. Sorry, everyone.
Tell
us. So, when I was in a senior in high school, when you get
you met a boy named Joe Bob Lingo?
Like, that's not far from what this story is.
Oh, God. So, oh, God.
That's like when you get like letters from colleges being like, hey, are you going to apply? And then you'll get like, at least if you're a guy, you'll get a letter from the army who's like, hey, come join us and you won't have to pay for college, blah, blah, blah. So I kept getting all those letters. But then we also kept getting all these letters that were addressed to our house and they were addressed to the parents of Joe Beau. And it happened like multiple times. And we were like, who the crap is Joe Beau? First of all, like, that doesn't sound like a real name. Like, it literally, like, first name Joe, last name Beau. Insane. And we were like, why are we getting, like, letters addressed to his parents? What's going on? And then my sister one day was like, wait, what if Joe Beau is, like, the, like, professional name for Joe Bob Lingo?
Because you can't go by Bob Lingo in the workplace.
Yeah, you like that's unprofessional. Freaking Joe Bob Lingo, like pick one. So he had like he was my imaginary friend when I was little. We were the same age. And then he had just like been silently growing up with me in the house. And then when we were both about 17, the army contacted both of us separately and they were like, hey, Ian or Jobo, like, do any of you want free college? So.
Wow.
That's my story, Thornstorm.
Thanks, Max.
You're welcome.
Okay. Well, you directed this along with
With a backwards baseball hat on.
With a backwards baseball hat. That's so funny. Oh my gosh. Okay. So let's talk about the producers of this show. I think it's something to note. Yes. So our executive producers, Lee Connolly, Simon Friend, Joshua Rosenblum, James Sanna, and Matthew Morrison.
Woo!
Matthew Morrison was a producer on this production. Can you believe that makes sense?
I absolutely can believe.
I absolutely. Last night we were watching it, me and my roommate, and we were like, how? How did they pick Matthew Morrison out of every person on earth? They picked Matthew Morrison. It's because he fronted the bill.
Yeah. That's how.
Okay. That's how it works. So they filmed it at the Troubadour Theater, you know, on December 9th, 2020. You were all there. You saw it on the TikTok, right? I doubt any of you have seen it. I watched it on Hulu. Anyway, so some cast members we have. We obviously have Matthew Morrison as the Grinch. You've heard of him. I've heard of him. Amelia
Bedelia?
Amelia Bedelia as Cindy Lou Who. She was the little girl. And then we have Dennis O'Hara as Old Max and Boo Boo Stewart as Young Max.
Jafar's son.
I know. Literally, I'm obsessed with him. He's also in the later Twilight movies, the ones you haven't seen.
What? I've seen all of them, but Breaking Dawn Part 2.
He's in Eclipse and Breaking Dawn. Yeah, so I have seen it. Well, that you don't. You, the Battle Scars is in Eclipse. Battle Scars. It's in Eclipse, and you said
yeah. I've seen it one time. Sorry, I don't remember that line.
Boo Boo Stewart. Big fan of his. Big fan of his. I think he's lovely. And then Dennis O'Hare, who plays Old Max, he's worked with Ryan Murphy a lot. He's in like a bunch of the American Horror Stories. I think most all of them. Really crazy. And that's our like main cast, right?
Yeah.
There's a bunch of other people in it. Any hoosers. Let's talk a little bit about the reception this got. So the reception is mostly negative. Someone said that this makes Seussical look like a masterpiece in comparison.
Okay, I take offense to that.
I know, because Seussical is a masterpiece.
Yeah, it doesn't need another show to look like a masterpiece. Yeah. It on its own is a masterpiece.
Yeah. Ugh. The guy who said that was named Brian Lowry of CNN.
The guy who said that's name was Brian Huge Dumbass of I'm a Huge Loser.
Literally, Seussical is incredible. But you know what makes Seussical so good is seeing it in a room full of kids.
Yes.
And also me and Ian, because whenever I'm there, I'm crying my freaking eyes out. I love that show. I love Seussical. I can't lie. Anyway, Kelly Lawler of USA Today gave it a 1 star out of 4 stars, calling it the worst of all of the previous adaptations of all of the Grinch stories. And then as far as ratings go, the special delivered only 0.6, like a 0.6 rating. It was beaten by The Masked Singer that night. Like, no one watched it, which sucks. Yeah, it is really sad. I read an article on Vulture.com about how Matthew Morrison, his Grinch, is inspired by Joaquin Phoenix's The Joker. Can you believe that? He said, I took a lot from Joaquin Phoenix's performance of The Joker, just going down those steps, like loose and reveling and abandoned and just carefree and raw. I really felt like that was how the Grinch would dance. So not only did Matthew Morrison play the Grinch, but he channeled the Joker. And then in this article, it's really funny. It says something like, Morrison did not have to go all the way to the Joker to get inspiration for his Grinch when he already had experience playing an even worse villain, Mr. Shoe.
True.
That's the tea. Those are the facts I have.
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Ja, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur einen Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
Are you ready to talk about it?
Let's hit it.
Let's talk about things we liked first.
Yeah.
Yeah?
My thoughts on this are, frankly, I don't think it's that bad. Don't think it was good, but I think people hate Mr. Shu a lot, justified. And so because yes. they hate Mr. Shu a lot, they hate Matthew Morrison. And then because they hate Matthew Morrison, they hate this because he's attached to it. Do not get me wrong. It is not good. And he is honestly, in my opinion, maybe the worst part of it. Like, I think he does a pretty bad job as his character. But, like, it was for little kids. And part of it is just, like, I respect them so much for doing this in a time when, like, our world has been upended. Like, we need a happy Christmas theater thing.
Yeah, totally.
So, like, I have total respect for them for doing this. And, like, the costumes were really fun. And it was, like, very cartoony. And mm-hmm. I really liked some of the music. I didn't think it was good by any means, and I have plenty of things to talk about in that, but I would just like to preface it by saying I think people are hating on it more than it deserves because it's trendy to hate on Matthew Morrison right now, and so they're like, haha, isn't it funny to hate this thing he did? That's just my opinion, though. Maybe I have bad taste, and it like really is much worse than I thought it was, and that's totally possible.
I hated it. In the way that, you know, I mentioned before, it wasn't even fun. Like, I know that it is trendy to, like, hate Matthew Morrison and listen. You know? There is a handful of things I genuinely appreciated. The rest of it was really not good. I think it was a weird choice. I think it was weird. Let's get into some stuff we liked, and then we'll, like, get to the nitty-gritty of stuff that, like, did not work about this production.
Okay.
I think the costumes and the set mm-hmm. were so beautiful.
They're so
I love the costume design. I love how thickums they were. Like, their little bums were cute.
They all had, like, what are those kind of pants called? Joppers? The, like, puffy thighs, and then all the women
Nazi
had like
pants,
huge hips. Yeah, they all had Nazi pants. Yeah. I loved it. It was so fun.
I thought it was, I don't love Nazis. Let's get that out of the way. But I loved the costume design. I thought it was really cute. I loved all the hair design, the makeup design, like all of their little noses were so cute. They all had like blush on their noses and like their like eyebrows were feathered. It was really, really beautiful. And the set design was lovely. And like, you could tell they only had like, I mean, they had like, actually, I have no idea. But it looked like to me, like the set was like probably 10 different pieces that they were piecing together for other things. And I thought that was pretty cool. I thought that was cool. What do you, what was your, like, give me a one part that you liked.
I need it to be clear that I think the hate that Matthew Morrison gets online is borderline cyberbullying, and that people need to knock it off with like leaving mean tweets, like tagging him in mean tweets and like commenting on his stuff. That being said, I think his performance in this is terrible. Like, just as an actor, I think he does a bad job. But this song, for some reason, for me, I like the orchestrations of this song are so exciting to me that I still liked
it. Oh no.
I hate Christmas time the whole Christmas season. I thought he was bad. But they have, like, the bongo drums in the back, and they do the, like, da-da-da-da. And, like, it had, like, a really good drive to it for some reason.
Sure.
And I thought that that was cool and fun. I don't know.
Awesome. Yeah.
I thought it was fun. And, oh, but that's not my favorite part. I forgot about this part.
We're just talking about things that we like.
My favorite part of the whole show was the Whatchamahoo song. The little kids with the, I gotta watch-a-ma-who, I gotta watch-a-ma,
okay.
Me too, because I just love, because like a real life Grinch is someone that just like, they have no, like, they're just very grumpy and they have no patience for, like, peppy, like, really over-the-top optimistic stuff. And so I loved that scene, because the whole show, the kids are like, so, like, they're such angels. And, like, Cindy Lou just wants to say Merry Christmas, friend. And she sees that he's a good guy. That it's just, like, the kids are so, like, sugary, sweet, and wonderful kids that you're like, man, the Grinch is such a jerk for hating them. And then that song is like, no, but also these kids are, like, freaking annoying. Like, I thought it was so fun that it wasn't even, like, it was like you kind of understood where the Grinch was coming from. And the fact that they, like, had their toys and would, like, smack him with it. And they would, like, totally. They were on the bouncy balls and were, like, jumping around him. Because it is true. As a kazoos. Person who does. Oh, my gosh. The kazoo solo. I lost my mind. I thought it was so fun. Because as a person who does like kids, you're out of your mind if you don't think that kids are annoying every once in a while.
Yeah,
and so literally. I loved that song was just like, let's have these kids be as freaking annoying as possible. And the, like, the song is so, like, bright and in your face. And, like, it also is really repetitive, which is super annoying. And all of the choreography was, like, very violent. I loved it. I thought it was so fun.
Totally.
What did you like?
Off of that, one of my favorite parts was the little girl playing Cindy Lou Who. I thought she was a doll. She was a beautiful singer. She was so sweet. Just like all of those kids who are, like, in the little Who family. I was like, wow, I'm gonna die of cuteness. They were adorable. And even that scene she had with the Grinch, I was like, oh, this little doll. And then she blew him a kiss and I said, she is so sweet. The kids in it were lovely. They did a really great job.
They're very cute.
And I think that was probably my favorite part overall, was just, like, I cannot lie, I do love a children's ensemble. But let's talk about Boo Boo Stewart.
Okay. Respect Dennis O'Hare and Boo Boo Stewart so much for their commitment to this.
Yes, absolutely.
Boo Boo Stewart was so earnestly trying to be a dog.
Absolutely. He tried his darndest.
He put in.
I was like, who did this? Who did this to you?
An A for effort for Boo Boo Stewart. Here's the deal. If you have a character in a show that is an animal played by a human, they either have to be 90% human with just like animal tendencies, or they have to be a fully mimed part that is all animal. You cannot do it halfway. It is weird and unsettling to have him
weird.
Be physically completely a dog on all fours barking, but then he also talks all the time. It did not sit well with me.
I know.
It was very bizarre. I didn't like it.
Absolutely. I think one of my least favorite parts was just hit the direction that they gave him. Like, it was super weird. It, like, made me feel funny. But, like, one of my favorite parts is that this actor really did that and, like, went 110% with what they told him to do. At least he made a choice. You know, I don't know if that was their direction or, like, his choice, but, like, he totally went for it 110%. And it made me miss doing theater a little bit. I really like Boo Boo Stewart, like, as an actor. I want him to be in, like, some sort of, like, I saw a TikTok the other day and someone was saying, like, he is in so many, like, things made specifically for children. Like, he's in Julian the Phantoms and he's in The Descendants and he's in this. I want to see him in, like, something for adults, you know? I felt bad. I was like, this guy is really talented and, like, is a great dancer, is a great singer. And, like, a really great actor, I think. I want to see him do something, for adults.
The two things I've seen him in are Descendants and Grinch! The musical live.
And Eclipse.
I can't say he's a good actor.
Sure.
But maybe he's really good in Julian the Phantoms.
Have you seen all the Descendants?
He's
great in Julian the Phantoms.
I've seen the first Descendants. Descendants is a movie that
you haven't seen Descendants too?
If you watch it by yourself at 25 years old, it's sad.
Yeah.
So, I need to watch it with another person.
You have a nephew.
No, I need to watch it with someone who will watch it for the camp and how bad it is. I can't watch it with someone who earnestly likes it, because the reason I want to watch it is to make fun of it. And I will feel bad if I watch it with a kid, you know?
Yeah. And also, that little boy is how many months old?
Yeah, he wouldn't know what was going on. He is 2 months old.
He'd take a nap. Yeah. I also thought it was funny. I mean, I've never seen this production in real life. I thought it was an interesting choice. Like, what is with the old Max and the young Max? And they were, like, in the scenes together at times. But also, old Max was the narrator. I just didn't know that I liked that choice.
Yeah.
And I don't think that was, a problem with this production as much as it is just, like, this production as a whole. It just, like, confused me. I was like, okay. I get that he can be the narrator and he's telling it, like, from that perspective. Like an older perspective. I get that. But, like, he was, like, in scenes at times.
And he would he would like talk to young Max, and young Max would interact.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He never interacted with anyone else, which I appreciated, but like at least like ignore him, you know?
It's weird. I had that feeling with thing one and thing two that I was like, I can tell you.
Were they supposed to be the things?
Yeah. They were thing one and thing two, I'm fairly sure. I think.
I have no idea.
But I was like, I can tell you're going for something with these two, that you want them to be like the everyman who fills out the scene, but they didn't do it enough. And so it ended up just being like, oh, these two are here again? Like, what are they doing?
Yeah.
But yeah, the laws of space and time in this show did not exist.
Which, like, makes sense to me. It's a show of, like, a Dr. Seuss story. Like, that's not something that bothers me. That is, that's all the stuff that I liked. I liked the Mrs. Who. The ensemble was pretty good.
I have very strong negative feelings on the entire Who family besides Cindy Lou.
Really?
And, like, the other kids.
Are you kidding me?
Here's the deal. They had no purpose. They had absolutely zero arc. They were just furniture. Here's what they should have done, which I think I actually am not very familiar with the Jim Carrey, Ron Howard Grinch. I like truly have seen it like one time. Yeah.
What?
But I think a lot of the things I'm about to say, they do in that movie. And if they do, like, kudos to you, Ron Howard, you did it right. If you are going to feature a character as prominently as Mrs. Who is featured in this show, she has like 4 songs. She needs to have a character arc. And literally, all that needed to happen, because we've established at the beginning that Cindy Lou, who is like, Mom, can I meet the Grinch? And she's like, no, you'd flinch. Which also, the Who's are so bad at making the rhyming work. That scene in the house.
Oh, yeah.
Which, kudos to Matthew Morrison. I'm not going to give him a lot in this podcast. I mean, in this episode specifically. But Matthew Morrison, rarely did I realize he was rhyming because it wasn't so forced. Mm-hmm. When that Who family was rhyming, when straight up the grandma was like, your grandpa's an old fake, but we love him dearly in spite of it. Cake? Who? What? What was happening there?
Yeah.
But anyways, the mom tells Cindy Lou Who that if she meant the Grinch, she'd flinch. So we've established that the mom hates the Grinch. She thinks he's nasty. She thinks he, like, has no feeling in him. All they needed to do was hammer that home just a hair more. Just a little bit more that the mom is like, the Grinch is irredeemable. And then at the very end, when the Grinch comes down and he gives back the presents, the mom has a moment where she is, like, untrusting of him. And then she sees how her daughter accepts him, and she learns that she needs to be accepting like a kid is, and like forgive him. And just like 1 10-second spotlight on the mom. Like, spotlight moment where she realizes that the Grinch can change, and that you shouldn't like hold people's mistakes against them if they've apologized and are trying to move past them. And the character would have been justified, but that never happens. So she's just like a weird prop that we have to stare at for a third of the show.
Yeah, I get that. I did appreciate that she and the entirety of the Who's, like, really had, like, I felt like it was an established world.
Yeah.
Like, I appreciated that. I thought she was a great singer.
Yeah, she was very good.
But, yeah.
I loved that she would always walk with her feet pointing really far out.
Yeah, she's, would, like, in a first position constantly.
Yeah, and she'd do, like, a little waddle when she walked. That was fun.
That was fun.
I also, like, truly hated the grandpa so much.
Really?
I don't know. I mean, the point of him was he was, like, a grumpy old man. But I was like, we get it. You're grumpy.
We get it. I didn't like much about this show. So I think those moments I was like,
Oh, and also this exchange was so bizarre to me. I was literally like, did I hear that right? And I rewound it. When the grandpa is like, you're a kind little who, Cindy, generous too. You could give singing lessons to your brother, boo hoo. And then he goes, yeah. And then the other girl laughs and then he goes, what? And then starts crying.
Yeah.
And the grandma goes, oh, just ignore him, boo hoo. Your grandpa's an old flake. And then does the cake line. And I was like, I just went on the most insane, twisty, emotional journey in those 5 seconds. What just happened? There were so yeah. many switches in emotions, so many different things talked about. I don't get it.
It was weird.
Here's the issue with like every Seuss adaption. The person who writes the book is like, it has to be in rhyming couplets because like that's yes. Seuss's whole thing. But yeah. honestly, like we as an audience will forgive you if it's not.
Yeah.
The poetry in heavy quotations in this show is the way that I wrote poems in fourth grade.
Certainly. That I really don't like when people try and recreate like Dr. Seuss style language. Mm-hmm. Like it never is successful unless it's in Seussical the Musical, my opinion.
Seussical is the best. I love it so much.
Seussical's the best.
But like they write in a way that they clearly write one line that's necessary for the plot. And then they're like, oh my gosh, okay, so this line ends in like carrot. So now sure. I'm going to insert a line that makes zero sense.
Share
and
it.
Does not, and does not further the mm-hmm. plot so that it will end with share it. So they're just going to say some non sequitur so that I can keep the line and then we're going to go back to the plot. And there are so many non sequitur lines that do not make any sense because they were so desperate to find a rhyme.
Yeah.
I didn't like it.
Should we talk about our guy?
Okay, we should. What do you have to say?
It was physically painful to watch for me. And not in the way that, like, I hate him because it's trendy, but in the way that, like, it wasn't fun.
Oh, no, he was absolutely terrible in this.
Like, it was terrible. And, like, I think Matthew Morrison's style of acting is very sexual.
Yes! What was like, up with that?
Like, this is a fucking musical for children.
For like 5
Do you think you can, like, stop being a horn dog for 120 minutes? I swear to God.
I literally wrote...
So weird.
During the, like, I'm one of a kind song when he's playing with his hair at the beginning, I wrote...
I know! I was like, that was way too sexual.
I wrote this
song... Oh my God.
This song could actually be kind of fun if it wasn't played by someone in heat.
It Absolutely.
Was so disgusting.
I just remembered every commercial break there was, I would take a photo of my face, like, and my reaction to every scene. Do you want to see them?
Yes.
I'll send them to you.
We'll put this on Instagram, everyone.
Yeah. I mean, they're really terrible. Because I tried my best to, like, just take it without posing. So I don't look great. This was the first scene. I was like, okay, where are we going with this? This was the second scene. I was like, okay, where are we going with this?
I did notice during the show, there were several times that I noticed that my mouth was fully open and I hadn't realized it.
Absolutely.
Because I would be like, what are we doing with this? What? Why did you do that choice?
It was... Like I said, he's so sexual about the entire thing. He also did like a really funny voice. I think the Grinch is a hard character because Jim Carrey really is the Grinch for our generation. You know, other than you, who's
Boris
only seen
Karloff.
The movie once.
Sorry, everyone.
No, and I get that. Like Boris Karloff, like from the cartoon, but like in a real a live action.
I'm
thinking you would think Jim Carrey. Like when you think the mannerisms of. The Grinch, you think of Jim Carrey. So he didn't do any Boris Karloff type like things like, you know, Boris Karloff does kind of like a lower register kind of thing. He definitely did more of a Jim Carrey thing and it just is unsuccessful.
Okay, here's my thought on his performance.
What's your thought?
Insane to me that he says it was inspired by Joaquin Phoenix as the Joker, because literally this entire performance sounds like he is verbatim trying to do an impression as Neil Patrick Harris as Count Olaf in Series of Unfortunate Events. He sounds just like him. And that's also not a compliment, because I don't love Neil Patrick Harris's performance in that show. And beyond that, that voice and those mannerisms work a lot better for Count Olaf than they do for the Grinch.
Definitely.
There were multiple times where I thought it was Neil Patrick Harris playing the part. And then I was like, wait, no, really? this is Matthew Morrison. He's just trying to be NPH.
That's so funny. Because we were talking, me and my roommate Emily, last night. She was like, why didn't they like hire someone like Neil Patrick Harris to do this? So that's funny that you thought it was him the whole time.
I mean, I also, sorry everyone, controversial opinion, I don't like Neil Patrick Harris that much.
Really? That's a controversial opinion.
I know. I think he's really shticky. I think he is like pretty insincere. And a lot of the time he feels like, I'm being funny, right? Wink, wink. And I don't love it. So saying that Matthew Morrison, I kept mistaking him for NPH, is not a compliment.
You know, we're going to talk about him a lot in the next...
I know.
One time in the next couple of weeks.
I know. I'm really excited. I have nothing against him as a person. He seems to be a pretty nice person. I just don't love him as an actor. Do you have more Matthew Morrison thoughts? Because I have a whole bunch.
Yeah, I have tons.
Great. Do your next one.
Well, you go ahead.
Okay. He kept doing these weird asides to the camera. Oh my god. And I know. The one that is the most skin crawling is the one that for some reason they put as a promo. I was like, are you trying to scare people away? I wrote in my notes in all caps, is this the beginning of a porn?
It was very sexual.
He turns to the camera and he's like, we're not here to have fun. Stop grinning. And I wrote, I am not grinning. And then he says, I hate your couch. Oh, and it was
so, so sexual.
It made me like I needed to go to church after watching that.
Yeah.
It was so, and like you said, I was like, who does he think this audience is? Like, I'm sorry, maybe there's a horny mom in the audience, but the overwhelming majority are four-year-olds. Why are you trying to, like, get them in bed with you? It was so weird.
I also feel like there were a lot of lines I couldn't tell whether they were ad-libs or not.
Right? Like, the social distancing line? Oh,
yeah, and, like, this is my Emmy nomination line.
Which, like...
I was like, who wrote that? Did you write
that? The least self-aware thing he could have said.
I know.
But that's, he would say them and he would do like a little wink wink at the camera. Like, I kept my social distance before it was cool. Get it? Because we all have to social distance now. Did you hear there's a pandemic going on? Also, blanket statement. I don't like pop culture jokes in like shows of this style.
Okay.
This show has, in my opinion, the two cheapest forms of humor, as in like, lazy trying to get a laugh.
Yeah, totally.
Which is unnecessary pop culture jokes that have literally nothing to do with the story at all. Just to be like, did you hear we read the news? And freaking a massively long fart joke.
Yeah.
Why did he fart in Max's face for like 10 seconds? What? Who approved that? It just feels like the writers didn't have confidence in their script, which to be fair, they shouldn't have because it's not a good script.
Well, I haven't seen the stage production. I wonder how many rewrites they did specifically for this production.
Yeah. Did Patrick Page freaking fart in John Colum's face? Did that happen on Broadway?
Probably.
I sure hope it didn't.
Gosh. So weird. Like, I just feel like I don't even like have things to make fun of because it was just all so bad. Like that scene at the end when him and Max are like standing on the hill. It was like so weird. Like the sense of urgency was so weirdly placed. Like I feel like the stakes were supposed to be high, but they weren't. And it was just weird and overwhelming. Like the Who's were singing and he was just like screaming for like 10 minutes. It's like, what a weird cut of this scene. I was so... Who greenlit this production? It's not even like fun to make fun of.
why on earth did they do the CGI heart pounding that was so unsettling? God. It was absolutely terrifying. It was like a horror movie. And also,
and then he like cackle laughs. He's like, ah! Like, I was like,
it was so scary.
I was like, my skin was crawling. I was like, I don't want to watch this anymore. It got to the point where I was like, let's just turn it off. Like, I don't have anything to say about this other than it's terrible.
Also, correct me if I'm wrong. That scene ended on a cliffhanger that was resolved off screen. I only watched it once, so I might be remembering wrong. But I remember the sleigh is like on the cliff and it teeters off. And he yells because it's falling. Uh-huh. And then it cuts to commercial.
And then the Who's are all singing.
And then the Who's are singing and he shows up with the sled. And I'm like, well, what the heck happened there? That seems like a pretty crucial like plot point that the sled was falling off a cliff. How'd he get it back?
I know. Maybe they were trying to like tell us he died. Because I was sitting there watching it.
And that end is like him being accepted into heaven.
Yeah.
And like Cindy Lou, who's like my good and faithful servant.
No. But like the Who's were singing alone for like 5 minutes. And I was like, is the Grinch here? Like, is he just not in this show anymore? That's fine if he's not. But it was so confusing. It's so hard to do these like live musicals because I feel like the commercials will really break it up.
Really kick the pacing in the nads, you know?
They really do. And like the pacing was already not good.
Yeah. Here's another thing. There is no pacing.
Yeah.
If literally. You are doing a children's musical based on a 10-page long picture book. Either make it an hour long max. There is no shame in having the show be less than an hour. They're kids. Or you have to add some more plot.
Absolutely.
Like, I don't remember the Ron Howard Grinch very much, but I do know that that movie is feature length and he adds a whole ton of plot that makes sense. You like can
Martha May Huvier.
Yeah, like the issue with Martha May Huvier and the mayor, and he adds a lot to Cindy Lou Who's arc, and that Cindy Lou Who is like grappling with feeling like Christmas isn't as magical as when she was a kid, and blah blah blah. Like he adds a lot of character arcs, he adds a lot of storylines, and it justifies the runtime. This one, I straight up, that was my biggest complaint. I was like, I have never been so bored. Like, please, that department store scene, I swear it was an hour long. I was like, we're still in this department store.
It was dreadful.
The kids are singing about underwear now. Now he's Donald Trump. What's going on?
What was with the Donald Trump
choice? Oh my gosh. That terrible and awful choice.
Oh my God. I really don't love when like people just like pull out a Donald Trump voice. Like they think that's such like a boy thing to do. Like so many boys who like think they're funny just like do a Donald Trump voice. And I'm like, I want to kill you.
It's such a cheap laugh.
Yeah, exactly.
Unmotivated pop culture references are the fart joke of people who think they're smart.
Totes.
It is them trying to be like, did you know that I know who Donald Trump is? Like, I don't freaking care. You're in Whoville.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
Why is Donald Trump here? I did not like it.
Yeah.
That's the catchphrase of this bonus episode is, I did not like it.
Drink every time we say, I did not like it. You know what I did like about that scene?
Yes.
I have a controversially brave opinion.
What?
That cropped green leather jacket. I want it really bad. It was very cute.
I also like think the idea of the Grinch coming in disguise and doing a bad Texas accent is a fun idea.
Definitely.
His line when he walks in, though, was another one of those exchanges that I was like, whoa, like one thing at a time, please. Where he's like, guess who? But not really. I'm the Grinch, but quiet. I'm a spy, blah, blah, blah. And then he left. And I was like, you just said like 20 things in 5 seconds. I don't know what happened. I have whiplash. Also, there was that weird verse in the song where the two shoppers were like, hey, my sister is really materialistic and I'd like to kick her in her butt. And then it kept moving. Why was that person there?
I don't know. This musical is weird.
This whole show is just padding. They could come up with actual
padding
story.
Padding just like their butts.
They just padded the script and they padded their butts and they said,
absolutely.
That's the show.
They should have done the Seussical.
Right. Okay, so friend of the podcast, best friend of the podcast, Tiffany Allen, sent me an article.
I don't know if you guys have heard of her.
she sent me an article that was like 50 of the funniest pretend headlines for the Grinch musical that were like people trying to come up with headlines.
Oh.
And one said, what's next? a live performance of Seussical featuring the cast of Smash. And I was like, that's not even funny. That would be amazing.
That's a dream.
Love that. Please, let's do it.
With Catherine McPhee as Maisie, and then what's-her-face as, she would be Gertrude.
Catherine McPhee and then, is Gertrude, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. I got mixed up. And Megan Hilty would be Maisie.
Let's cast this whole
and
show.
And Angelica Name Houston. Some other characters.
Sean Hayes, he was on that show for like 4 episodes. He is Horton. Angelica Houston. No, Jennifer Hudson is the sour kangaroo, of course.
She's the sour kangaroo.
Angelica Houston is the mayor's wife. Who's a big female character that we haven't listed in that show? She's the mayor's wife. Sorry.
The mayor's wife, yeah.
And JoJo is Deborah Messing's son who cannot act his way out of a box. He plays
the
JoJo.
The cat is, what's his face?
Christian Borle. That's perfect.
He's
perfect. Hi, NBC, would you like us to produce your next
live And then
live
you and
musical?
Me will be in the background.
We're the
we'll
bird
be
girls.
The hunches.
We're the bird girls.
Oh, we're the bird girls.
All right.
Perfect.
Back to Grinch.
See, wouldn't that be way better?
Yeah, it would. It would be so much better. I just truly, this script is terrible. Here are some lines that I was like, you really, that is your final draft? The Grinch says, I'm one of a kind. Do you mind? That's a first grader wrote that.
Yeah.
And then the Who's, Mr. and Mrs. Who, sing, it's Christmas Eve, and they're singing about how the kids are all asleep, and they say, all the expectation, all the children sound asleep, we're a tired nation. You're a tired nation? Yeah. Who talks like that?
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my gosh, you know what? Everyone in the United States is so exhausted, we're a tired nation. Oh my word.
Totally. You know what bothered me about the music in this show? I feel like they tried so hard to make everything so Seussy and weird that like the harmonies were so thick it like gave me anxiety. it quickened my heartbeat. I was like, why we're singing Where Are You Christmas? And like there's like harmonies that don't need to be there. And also, why was Where Are You Christmas told from the mom's perspective rather than Cindy's?
The whole point of Where Are You Christmas is that it is a person who is entering pubescence who is having their first experience of Christmas not
Absolutely.
Being as special as it was as a little kid.
Absolutely.
It doesn't.
And now
make...
it's like the mom, like my presents that I bought.
And also, it contradicts the message of the show,
Absolutely.
Which is that Christmas has nothing to do with the material things. Like the whole message of How the Grinch Stole Christmas is that the Grinch didn't understand what Christmas was, and he took all the material away, and yet Christmas still came.
And it still happened.
Because it's about love and kindness. But for the mom to be like, no presents, where are you, Christmas? And then once again, she does not get an arc. There's not a moment of the mom realizing.
It doesn't finish at all, totally, yeah.
There's no moment where she's like, wait, but it still is Christmas. She just straight up is like, well, there's no presents, so there's no Christmas, and then it ends at that. It was so shoehorned in. It does not work as a group ballad at all. It works as a one-person ballad. Also, I'm sorry, the actress who plays Mrs. Who, why do you open your eyes so wide when you sing?
So
it's terrifying.
I wonder if it was a choice.
You know, there's no wrong choices, but that sure was a strong one to go with.
Yeah. I hope it was a choice,
my gosh.
And that's not her real face.
Are you ready to wrap this mother up?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't fun to watch. It doesn't even... Oof.
Also, when Matthew Morrison got accepted by the Who's, and then he picked up a knife and he said, and I carved the roast beast. Why was he talking
it's
as
so
if he had
scary.
Just killed a Who in cold blood?
Yeah. And the way he like pet Max's head at the end, I was like, are you going to fuck
Grinch.
Him or are you going to like kill him? I don't know. It was so scary. It was so upsetting.
Talking about this, maybe I liked it less than I thought I did.
No. And there were moments that were sweet. And I think it's easy to like think about it and like think about like the costumes and the choreography was lovely. Oh my God. I thought the choreography was cute. I liked that the world felt pretty cohesive. Like I loved the costumes. Like, there were definitely moments that were sweet. I loved I thought Boo Boo tried his darndest. I thought the girl who played Cindy was really cute. Honestly, I even liked Dennis O'Hare, his name.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought he was... He did that. Yeah. It was just weird.
I liked that they did a number on roller skates. I'm always down for more roller skate numbers.
Yeah, more roller skate numbers.
And also, this is not a compliment to anyone in this production team, but a compliment to Dr. Seuss himself. The lyric, the three words I would use to describe you are as follows, and I quote, stink, stink, stunk. Uh-huh. Makes me so laugh good. Every time I hear it.
Absolutely.
I love that lyric. And there's something weird, like you said, that people always try to copy Seuss's style. There's something weird where when he does it, it works so well. Like, he's just, like, such an original and, like, has so much whimsy. And you can always tell when it's someone else trying to be Dr. Seuss.
Absolutely.
And it, like, rarely ever works.
It rarely does. And it makes me sad because I love this story. I think it's really precious. I love The Grinch. I love How the Grinch Stole Christmas. I love the book. I love the 2000 version. I love the cartoon. Like, it's a story that I think is lovely. It's just so, I don't know. It's weird. You guys, it was bad. Homeboy kicked over so many pieces of furniture. I was like, who the fuck are you, Finn Hudson? Remember when he said, let's hear it for the single folk. Hey.
Oh my gosh.
I was like, I want to murder this man.
Oh my gosh. I was, okay, well, you know, that.
Let's hear it for the single folk. Hey.
Let's hear it for the single folk. That was the Grinch exclamation point musical live. You know, it happened. We watched it.
Yeah.
You wanted to hear our thoughts?
We watched it so you didn't have to. I honestly, I would recommend parts of it. I don't know, maybe you should watch it, but also
I would recommend
really, it was not fun.
Listening to Patrick Page sing I Hate Christmas Time on Spotify.
Can I do an impression of my Matthew, can I do an impression of Matthew Morrison
do
in
it.
This show?
Do it.
I hate Christmas time.
Also, the lyrics in that song where Max is like, maybe your shoes are too tight. What? Just truly, they were reaching into the stratosphere for these rhymes. They were trying their absolute hardest. Well, do you have any parting thoughts?
I just feel bad.
That's the show, everyone.
Like, Glee is so fun to hate because there are moments that are so good mm-hmm. and there are moments that are so bad, you know, like it really has the gambit of like good and bad. And this was just like, meh. And then it was, you know, I don't know. It's just not even fun.
Our apologies if this commentary was a little meh, but like we can only do what we can.
Yeah. You guys wanted to hear this. What did you guys think of it? Go ahead and tweet at us.
Email us, recoveringglee@gmail.com.
Do we want to do like a best part, worst part?
I mean, I already said my best part's Whatchamahoo. What's your best part?
I think my best part, probably, I thought Cindy Lou Who was really cute.
Okay, that's a good
one. I thought she did a good job. Like, and even in the scene where like the Grinch and her meet, I was like, ugh. Gross, Matthew Morrison, you're so nasty. But she was really sweet and she like blew him a kiss and I just thought she was a doll.
Yeah.
So probably her. Do you have like a worst part?
I just like my worst part is like, why would the Grinch be horny? Like, why?
Yeah.
Why did he make that choice? Why did the director not talk him out of it? Why was he? And it wasn't a one-time incident, was the weird thing. He was consistently horned up the whole show. What was your worst part?
God, just the whole scene. I feel so bad for how much I just did not enjoy this. what is heart grew two sizes?
Ooh, terrifying.
And like the way he laughed, like it was painful. Like, and I get like he's supposed to be laughing because like his heart's growing and it's like overwhelming. And I get that. Like, I understand why that would be scripted in there. But like the way he does it, like it was so scary.
Yeah. That's the Grinch. hopefully listen to our other episode this week, and hopefully we have more fun with it. Thanks for listening, everyone. Go spread some NBC's The Grinch exclamation point musical live.
Yeah, thanks for listening, you guys. It was painful, but we'll do it. We'll do it for you because we love you.
Bye. Okay,
bye, guys.
Happy holidays. May the merry keep ringing.
See you later. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Recovering Gleek. You can find us on Instagram and TikTok at recoveringgleek_podcast. If you liked our podcast, be sure to leave a review and tell your friends, please.
I don't think people know that I sing.
Yeah, that's your own fault.
That's my own fault.
I'm not holding you back from singing on the podcast.
I know.
I frankly wonder why you don't sing more.
You live with family. I live in an apartment building full of married couples.
I'm in an apartment right now.
Really?
Lena, sing something. Sing a song from The Grinch! Exclamation point musical live.
Okay. Where are you, Christmas? Why can't I find you?
Ring, 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 ring. Hello, is this Lena
Katzer?
This is a Broadway producer. I was scoping out the podcast scene.
Oh my god.
Heard you singing Where Are You Christmas. It was so incredible. I have a job for you.
What's the job?
You're gonna be in Mueller Mania. You're gonna play
all three Mueller siblings
and their life story.
Wow. Thank you, Broadway producer.
You're welcome.
I won't let you down.
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.